We are starting into a sermon series which I did not come up with. I'm one of, I have no idea how many, but many Vineyard pastors giving the same sermon series. And so that's kind of cool. I mean, it's one thing if you're like in one of these big denominations where everybody does the same thing on a Sunday all the time, that would be one way, but it's nice some of the time to do that. And we're part of a greater community in the Vineyard. Paula and I belong to a small group of Vineyard pastors, and that they meet in Toledo, and that's all part of a group that's in the Great Lakes Midwest area, and then that's all part of a national group. And then we have an international group next spring, I think it is. I can't remember if it's spring or summer. Instead of a national conference, there's going to be an international conference. It's in Columbus, which means no expensive plane fares, and I'd like folks to, I'll get the details on it, but folks to pray about actually going to a large conference. The Vineyard Church that's having it has 8,000 people in it, so it seats quite a few folks, and it should be quite good. But we're part of this movement. We're part of a movement that is, we want to say, a Kingdom of God movement, saying that we rely on the Kingdom of God breaking in on our lives, that we're here and life is going along normally, ups and downs, and seems like more downs than ups, and then all of a sudden the Kingdom of God breaks in on us and something happens and we're caught and we're surprised. And we're folks that rely on that, that God will speak to us today. We don't have to wait till someday for that to happen. And so in the midst of this, we are looking at a program called Receive the Blessings. As I said, the word program, I don't like that word. But anyway, that's what it is. Experiencing Christ's love at Christmas. So that's what we're going to start with. Advent, Paula said, it means the coming. And it means us remembering Christ came for us. And looking ahead to the fact that he's coming again. But then allowing him to come again in our lives over and over and over again. The season of Advent, the corporate prayer we're doing together here at home, hopefully, and the sermon series I'm doing, all puts this together. In the historic church calendar, the seasons of Advent extends 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas and culminates on Christmas Day, and then also celebrated as New Year's Day. And we're using one message throughout the Vineyard. Not everyone has to do that, but many are. And trying to make a new tradition of celebrating Advent together as a people. There's a reason we come together as a people of God, and we want to recognize that. For one thing, we know then that we're not alone, that we're amongst a people who are like-minded. I don't know if this fits all of you or not, but one of the experiences that I have had since I first came in contact with the Vineyard Church was finding out that Vineyard wasn't where I was more than what I was. I am a Vineyard person. Maybe that sounds extreme, but it's just, I just love the values. I love the fact that you can come as you are, any way you are. You can even dress up real fancy if you want. And that people take you just the way you are. I love the value of worship. I love what God is doing amongst us and how he is leading us in worship. In this series, we want to receive the blessing of Christ at Christmas. That's what it's all about. There are going to be 6 messages, which one is on Christmas, one's on New Year's. I'm not sure if we're going to have a service those days or not. But This is the receive the blessings. And the six sermons, the first Sunday of Advent, which is today, so I should have put you are here now, the blessings of the living water. Second Sunday, the blessings of the bread of life. The third Sunday of Advent, the blessings of the way to the Father, the blessings of the Prince of Peace, the blessings of the light of the world, and the blessings of Christ as Lord. I pray that we would be strengthened within as we work through the materials in order to enter into an experience of Christ's great love. It's a Christmas love that meets the thirsty heart, the hungry heart, the fearful heart, the troubled heart, the darkened heart, and the wandering heart, right where we are. We don't have to go anywhere else. Whenever you're in the world, or wherever you live in the world, it seems like Christmas. Now, we're going to hear it really a lot starting this weekend, along with advertisements on shopping. But it's in the air. It's in some form everywhere. It's the season of the heart. And the central theme of the message we hear on the radio, on the TV, and in our churches orbits around the mystical topic of love. Love is an elusive term that can mean many different things to many people, but it remains true that experiencing love, being warmed by love, and sharing love is an idea that connects deeply with people at their emotional center. We may not know exactly what love is, but we often know it when we experience it. It's a matter that sometimes we are challenged on that we fall short of that in our lives. But it's something that's just such a basic need in every one of our lives. The Advent, the coming, and Christmas is about love coming to find us. It's the lover seeking us out, calling out to us, like in the Song of Songs. The lover saying, "Where is my beloved? I am looking for you." It's God calling out to us. I think he's been sitting back waiting for us to come to him. And he's going, "If you're not going to come to me, I'm going to come to you." And he's reaching out to each and every one of us and saying, "Come." You deeply experience the love that we're ultimately looking for in the Christmas time. While people wander the malls this season searching for the perfect Christmas present for those they love, the story of the incarnation in the Bible reveals to us that perfect gift of love, which was a baby, an infant. So from Advent, the coming, we have this gift, this blessing, a special kind of love offered and secured for us in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no greater gift on the planet that could give us, that we could get more from than the gift of God to us through his Son. It's a God that loves because he heals, forgives, saves, affirms, and ultimately changes us from the inside out. He's calling us to a season of change, a season of opening ourselves up to him in more and more each day. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to receive this love. It's sometimes even harder to receive it than to give it. Oh, I'm a lover. I love to give to people. And you may say that and even think it to yourself, but receiving the love can sometimes often be harder. It's not on our terms. We're not in control of the love we receive. For one thing, because of the fall of Genesis, our capacity to love and to be loved is broken. But God wants to come and heal that. He wants to come and fuse back together the broken parts of our love. Our internal instruments are uncalibrated and insensitive, making us people who are loved to challenge. Always being offered the greatest loves, but never knowing how to live inside that love like a home. I mean, it's too good to be true. How can we live this love Christ has for us? And yet, that's what he's calling us to. For many people, the Christmas holiday is some of the saddest times, some of the hardest times. Those who have lost loved ones, those who may be spending their first Christmas without some particular person. It makes it hard, and somehow Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, magnifies that, makes it even more difficult. And yet it's the same spirit that comes to heal the very things that are the source of our hurts. The Christmas story is the most powerful expression of blessing. Blessing is the fleshing out of God's love onto us. When we bless people, we're reaching out to them with God's love. And the Christmas story is that blessing that we have in human history. We are loved. You are loved. End of the story. The beginning of the Christmas story. That's it. We are loved. That's what Advent is all about. Advent is about us receiving from Christ. He's calling to us. He's calling to his lovers. And we are his lovers. We are his beloved, as he says. And he wants us to know him. He says, everything that you're looking for, everything that you're searching for, the answer to that is in me, says the Lord. The sermon today is the blessings of living water. The Advent and Christmas season, Christ comes to us as living water that saturates the dry ground of our thirsty heart and satisfies our need for affection. We all do, even the most crusty person, the most prickly pear person has that need for love. We have a devotional that we're going to be using together, and I'm going to invite all of you to do that. And it's part of just spending a small amount of time every day. It's better to spend small amounts of time with God every day than having some great one big day a year that you celebrate. But you want that ongoing relationship. I use a series of prayers called the Divine Hours. And one of the prayers this week in the morning prayers fit very well with what I'm talking about here. It's out of Psalm 65. And it says, you visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. That rough and tough King David wrote these words. He had the romanticist in him. He had the love of God. As he sat out on the hills, caring for his sheep, seeming to be all alone, and yet he never was alone. And it's that same call to us. Christ is that living water that quenches all of our thirst, all of our dryness, all of the parched part of us that says we're burnt. We're kind of wore out there. Isaiah, the Christmas prophet, speaks of the messianic moment to come when Christ will, quote, turn the desert into pools of water. What deserts of heart have you needed Christ's quenching, his affection to reach? As we celebrate Christmas, how do people seek to satisfy their thirst for affection? There's all kinds of ways. Many of them hurt us more than they help us. That same scripture, Isaiah had turning the desert, I'd like to look at the whole scripture. And, before I do that, living water. If you want to know what living water was back then, there's stagnant water and there's living water, flowing alive water and dead water. So when you hear the term living water in all that, all the times in the Bible it talks about, when Jesus is saying to the woman at the well that you're going to have living water, her mind is thinking to the flowing waters like this. There's so much more life in that. But Isaiah in chapter 41 says, the poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland and fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. There's a burning in our heart, a longing for this. And the Christ is the living water that softens our heart. The problem is we harden our heart. When things come against us and hurt us, we steel ourselves to it, but then we start hardening our heart. And the way that God wants to soften our hearts is his living water coming upon us. But the other thing he does is he calls for us in a sacrifice. Psalm 51 says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not make pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. It's one of my favorite scriptures. So the brokenhearted, when you're at a point when your heart is broken, is the time in which God's saying, that's the sacrifice, that you're turning to me in your hard times. And then as an engineer, not having really good English, I see the word contrite, and I may have shared this before, but I got curious as what the word contrite meant. First, I looked it up in the Hebrew that was there, contrite, and you can see how it's printed, however, that daka, to crush, broken, contrite, crushed. The Latin word is contrar, which means to pulverize. Our heart gets pulverized, and that softens it, but it's a painful thing at times. We go through it with him. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he walks with me. Christ is with us. He's there. Ezekiel says to us, for I will take you out of nations. I will gather you from the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be cleaned. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, let it be so, Lord, and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I have gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I, my people, will be your God. Following his decrees and his laws is hearing what God's saying to us and following it, doing it. Not just, if following rules, but actually following a living, loving God who wants to speak to us. Christ is in that living water that surprises us. Have you ever been surprised by the affections of God like a rainstorm? When has this love come out from nowhere, meeting you where you were and flooding your heart with the intense sense of your presence? I have shared before in the lowest part of my life, the dates were 1992, 1993, coming out of a divorce, broken family, and at the bottom, God began to rush in on me. I was looking for someone to love me, and I found him. And then, praise God, after I followed him, I found someone else who was in the same place doing the same thing. And we came together as we came closer to Christ. And that's what I'm talking about, is drawing close to him. How is the love of Christ for you continuing to shape your emotional health? It's kind of like a river that shapes rocks. If you've ever seen the Grand Canyon or pictures of it, that was a flat ground and a river starting to run across it and just wearing away. It's the way the love of Christ wants to come, to wear away all the hardness that's in us, to bring us back, soften our hearts. Now, I've got this book, and, okay, Mike, now. He's been wanting to hand these out. So I get his big chance now. And you'll find in here that it has the first Sunday's readings, and read through the introduction. I covered it very lightly, but the reason I want to do this is because I want you all to just continue this on. It's not like Sunday morning shot in the arm and then I coast the rest of the time. But just take this time, this season, this 4 weeks, four whole weeks, I'm asking, of looking at this, of seeking God. The conclusion here is to receive the blessing of Jesus, God's love expressed to you this Christmas. Welcome his living waters to slowly pass over your thirsty heart, softening any hardness and penetrating your need for affection. And then there'll be a spiritual reflection and action. And it'll ask the questions, is your soul, this Advent, in a dry and thirsty place? How can you open yourselves up for God's affection? Take 30 minutes today to ask the question, God, how much do you love me? Journal, if you can, some people don't do that very well, what he speaks to you through his word and his spirit. Pray for those in need of prayer to experience the love of Christ throughout a Christmas series. Jesus came for this purpose, to love us back to life. I want to end with a closing scripture, which is out of Revelations. If you look, the river of God goes all the way to the end of the book. And the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's coming when Jesus returns. But we're people that say, we don't want to wait till then. Kingdom of God, break in on us right now. Come now. Come today on us. Amen.